Welcome to the Authentic Health Coaching Show. My name is Tom Corson-Knowles, founder of Authentic Health Coaching and your host for the show today. Hey, if you haven't checked us out over at AuthenticHealthCoach.com, please do. We have an amazing free report for you with Dr. Corson's top 5 nutrition tips. It is the number one guide to taking your health to the next level. And today on the show, we have an amazing guest for you, Becky Basham. And Becky has been a health educator for many, many years. She was the host and producer of the Kitchen Nutrition Healthy television series. And she is also the author of the Organic Produce Gals Kitchen Nutrition Cookbook, Nutrition for Your Soul. And today on the show, Becky shares some really powerful information about brain health and some really powerful new tools with neurofeedback and biofeedback that you can use to help improve your brain health overall. And it can be applied to a variety of conditions, including ADD, ADHD, addictions, Alzheimer's, dementia. So really, there are so many conditions today that are associated with brain health, and if you can improve them overall using these tools, it's going to make a massive, massive difference in your quality of life and how you think and how you feel. So take great notes today, enjoy the show, and make it a wonderful day.
All right, well, Becky, thanks so much for being with us today on the Authentic Health Coaching Show. Why don't you tell our listeners a little bit more about yourself and how you got interested in brain health?
Okay, well, my name is Becky Basham, and I'm a neurofeedback practitioner. What that means is I help people with EEG biofeedback, which, in a nutshell, it's brain exercise. And I found this about 2 years ago. I got involved because I'm a mother of 3 ADHD children. And over a course of time, you know, I took them for evaluations. We noticed things were different, had problems with school and behaviors. And long story short, we went to lots of different therapies, took my oldest child in for functional MRI just to confirm something was going on in his brain before I put him on medication, because my background is in health and fitness. Okay, I started out in radiology as a medical imaging specialist, radiologic technologist, and did CT and MRI. So, you know, I understood the brain, and then I went back to school and decided I wanted to get into health and wellness. I had seen all this sickness and disease, and I wanted to get into health and wellness and help people to be healthy. So I majored in exercise science and minored in health promotions, and spent the last, like, 25 years as a health educator, various forms of nutrition, exercise, fitness. So long story short, I after a lot of evaluation and doctor's appointments, I decided to put my children on medication, and it took the edge off. It would help them get through a day of school, but there were lots of side effects, and it really didn't cure the underlying problem of the brain chemical issue, right? They were hyperactive, and they just didn't act like other children. I went to all these parenting classes, and I did the structured parenting and the consequences and the rules, and my children didn't respond like other children. And so then I took them to, I focused on nutrition with my health education background. I focused on nutrition. I was like hardcore, clean out the cupboards. Everything was healthy. I mean, I even, for the last 10 years, I lived in Arizona and I started an organic produce farm stand, bringing healthy food to the middle of the desert. I mean, I was hardcore nutrition, and even that didn't solve the problem. So I did perceptual motor integration therapy with them and sensory motor integration, all these different therapies. It kept them out of special ed. It kept them out of the special classroom. But it really didn't solve that underlying issue of what's going on in their brain. We are just throwing chemicals at the problem. And then about 2 years ago, I was going to take them to the Amen Clinic in Newport Beach, Dr. Daniel Amen, with his SPECT scanning and see what's going on in their brain and then address the issues. But then I thought, that's what I'm already doing, and it's not working. And I ended up running into somebody who had been doing neurofeedback therapy to address past traumas and get her stress and her life under control. And she said it was really effective. So I went in, took one of my kids in for a free evaluation. And lo and behold, long story short, what they did is they hooked up my child to an EEG biofeedback computer. And they were able to look, instead of a pretty picture, like a brain image, of what's going on in the brain metabolically with a SPECT scan, They just hooked him up, real simple, pasted electrodes to different parts of his head, and it gave an EEG tracing of what was going on from an electrical standpoint in all the different areas of his brain. And this is when I knew it wasn't like a hoax, is because I saw the activity in his brain exactly what I expected to see in the image with the metabolic thing, with the SPECT scanning. I saw that from the EEG, the electrical activity in the brain. And it's like, wow. And then they offered me not just a diagnosis, but they offered me not, I wouldn't say a cure, but it was treatment. And it was a way to do biofeedback using this EEG to correct the situation. So the way it worked is this biofeedback allows the brain to watch itself. Just like when you look in a mirror, that's sort of a very simple form of biofeedback, looking at yourself in the mirror. You see a reflection of what's going on, and you can make adjustments. You can fix your hair. You can, you know, wash your face, brush your teeth. You see that in the mirror. EEG biofeedback lets your brain see itself in action, and your brain is so complex but so smart that it'll see what's going on the feedback screen and make adjustments. So that's what I ended up doing with my three children and myself. The apple doesn't fall too far from the tree, right? I was every bit as much ADHD as they were. So we all went through this therapy. It was just so fascinating. I was able to get them all off medication, all of them, and functioning in the classroom. My boys graduated. They're 19 and 20 now. And so it was very exciting, and I decided about a year ago that I was going to transition out of the health education or out of the nutrition thing. I was doing this organic produce farm stand, and I decided, you know, for years I've been teaching people how to exercise and eat right, and we know what to do, right? I mean, you're a health educator. I love the work that you've been doing and your website. It's like we have all this information at our fingertips and with cyberspace and the internet, all this information, but how many people really embrace it and do what they need to do, right? Mm-hmm. It's all about what's going on in the brain and making the decision and following through and getting our focus and our minds on track. And that's what EEG biofeedback or neurofeedback can do. It takes health to the highest level in the brain where everything starts, because everything's connected to the brain. So we can just look at all the different parts of the brain and begin to focus on different issues to address, you know, like the front part of your brain is your executive function, your attention, whether or not you're going to act on certain impulses and do these behaviors. It's your inhibitory control, you know, your command center, right? And the back of your brain is where your sensory processing and your integration, okay, that's where like the learning stuff happens. And your attention and your awareness in the environment, your body and space. So we look at different parts of the brain, and the left and the right, you know, the right side is the creative type, and the left side is where your like things like conscious thinking and your math skills, detail, analysis of detail, self-motivated behavior, planning, executive control, that's where the left side. So we just look at the whole person and figure out, you know, are they having pain? Are they having stress, anxiety? Anxiety is a huge issue. So many health issues have their roots in anxiety. That's the first thing I address when somebody calls me or walks in the door. I kind of get an idea of what their stress level is, because when your brain and your whole body is floating in serum cortisol, which is the stress hormone, it affects lots and lots of different things. So the first thing we address is anxiety. And once you sit down and you're hooked up to this EEG biofeedback equipment, your brain can see itself in this high anxiety state. And we train you to bring that down. And then we just start working on things like balance and stability, migraines, for instance, and hormonal imbalances. Those are results of instabilities, and so we balance the right and the left side of the brain once again just by letting the brain watch itself.
Wow, that's fascinating.
Absolutely, very fascinating stuff.
It is. And it's amazing that, you know, all three of your children, you know, had ADHD and then recovered using this neurobiofeedback. This is awesome. But I want to make sure to ask, I mean, is this something only for people with ADHD, or does it apply to other issues as well?
Oh, it applies, you know, it almost makes neurofeedback sound like snake oil or something, but it applies to really just about any kind of symptom you might have. Not just symptoms, we also train for peak performance. There are people, I work with a couple of actors, singers, dancers, peak performance. Because, you know, have you ever heard athletes or corporate executives talk about being in, have you heard about being in the zone?
Mm-hmm, exactly.
Okay, the zone is a state of consciousness. So it's not just not just symptoms and diseases and things like that that we're working on, but like I said, the brain controls everything. It's your CPU. Everything's hooked up to the brain. So anything that you want to improve on or feel better, we can do that with neurofeedback. And it's just a matter of bringing somebody in, doing an interview, looking at what's going on the EEG, and hooking up the electrodes. I mean, hooking up is just a matter of just getting some paste and pasting the electrode on your scalp. And what that does is it listens to, it's a little microphone, and it listens to the electrical activity going on, or the EEG going on that spot of the brain. So we can work on things like anxiety, stress, headaches, migraines, mood instabilities, things like bipolar, depression. We work on pain management. You know, pain all starts in the brain. It has its physiologic issues. You know, it's coming from a source in the body, but it's processed in the brain.
Absolutely. It's all connected.
Yeah, and behavior issues. I work with autistic children, to helping them get connected with their speech and language. I have clients with Alzheimer's and dementia, helping to wake up their brain. You know, I can't increase brain matter, but I can certainly strengthen whatever part of the brain is left. And as you are probably very well aware, we only use a very small percentage of our brain. Mm-hmm. So we can take whatever's left and strengthen that and increase the communication. I got a gentleman I'm working with, and literally after his session for about 30 minutes, after his session, at the beginning of the session, he has no concept of verbal. He sort of just babbles on and on incoherently. His words are monosyllabic, and they don't make sense. They don't string together. You really can't understand what he's trying to communicate, but he's trying to communicate, and you can speak to him, but he doesn't process it. So then I put the electrodes on Broca's area and Wernicke's area on the left side of the brain where the speech and language processing happens. I get him tuned up in that area. You know, I don't do it. He just does it himself by watching his feedback on the screen. And then after the session, all of a sudden he's speaking sentences and we can have reciprocal conversation. It's just fascinating, very, very heartwarming. We're really helping families. It's very exciting work.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's awesome. So, what other benefits are there to using the machine itself? Because, I mean, is it something where you have to actually watch on the screen, you know, the EEG, or is it something that, are there exercises that you can do based on your work that someone could just do at home, either looking in the mirror or just sitting and relaxing?
Well, this is some really sophisticated, specialized equipment. We do have home programs. Once people have been through 20 sessions and we figure out what their frequencies are, in other words, what amplitude, what hertz we're training at. You know, your brain has different frequencies. There's areas where, you know, there's delta rhythms, which is sleep, and then there's theta, which is sort of like the twilight, daydreamy consciousness, and then there's alpha, which is like the happy place. That's like conscious, but you're not thinking. It's just kind of like a relaxed, meditative state and contemplating. And then beta rhythms are your active consciousness, where you're thinking and problem solving. And then stress, that would be like high beta rhythm. That's like the fight or flight. So there are different frequencies that we train in, and figuring out different sites. So there's a frequency issue to address, and then there's the training sites, which is what part of the head that we are looking at. So we get that all dialed in. It takes about 20 sessions to get somebody readjusted and balanced and in a pattern of healthy brain activity. You know, like you can go to the gym and you don't get in shape just going to the gym one time. You can take lessons or go to martial arts or dance lessons or golf lessons or something. You don't just go to one lesson. It takes some time to acquire a new skill. So it's about 20 sessions and we reevaluate. And if somebody needs to continue, we can set them up with the equipment at home on a lease program. There are also other things that you can do to supplement this. And once you're all dialed into your frequency and you're on the path to a healthy, balanced, stabilized, calm brain, then there are things that you can do at home or anywhere, actually. I always recommend Les Femi's work. He has a book called The Open Focus Brain, where he takes you through a meditative process. It comes with a CD, and you can take yourself through a visualization just listening to him. And it just helps to expand your mindfulness and awareness of what's going on in your mind, your body, and the environment.
Mm-hmm. That's great. And I'd like to talk a little bit more about the brain waves, the alpha and theta and beta, because I think it's such an important concept for people to understand is that you can actually measure your thoughts and your brain patterns, and they have massive physiological effects on your body. So tell us a little bit more about that.
Well, it's measured technically with the EEG, which is electroencephalography. And that's how we base the equipment we're running on. We don't do diagnostic EEGs, so, you know, don't come to us for a diagnosis. You know, that would be a more of a medical thing, people who have seizures, epilepsy, things like that. But we're using this as a basis for therapy. But we can train you to identify what type of brain state you're in. I mean, most people are aware when they're stressed. But some people are stressed and they're in anxiety, which would be this high beta consciousness. Some people literally, and I myself was one of them, I was walking around in high alert, red alert, anxiety mode all the time. I'm pretty sure from the moment I woke up to the moment I totally crashed and burned, fell asleep at night, I was like in high anxiety and having a lot of symptoms as a result, you know, my heart rate, my muscle tension, I was having pain, tension, and literally went in for a checkup and my blood serum cortisol levels were through the roof. And my doctor told me, you need to change something, Becky. You are just a walking time bomb. Otherwise healthy. But I had this hormone issue, and I'm in that midlife area in my 40s, so going through that whole hormone thing, and stress was just wreaking havoc on my body. So we can train people to be aware of what level of consciousness they're in. People with ADD, their frontal cortex, when they're trying to think and solve problems, their frontal cortex is basically like in delta and theta mode. Their frontal cortex is not working. It's basically asleep. And they're being run on the back of their brain in the temporal parietal region. And rather than being in a resting alpha-type rhythm where it should be, just in kind of a relaxed state of emotions, they're like in fight-or-flight mode. And what happens when your back of your brain is in fight-or-flight mode, the way our bodies are designed, is that takes over all the executive function, and we don't think with our prefrontal cortex. The back of our brain takes over, and we're operating in stress. So that's where things like road rage come from. You see where I'm going with this?
Mm-hmm, absolutely. I mean, it's so common. I mean, so many people are stressed out today.
Yeah, and it's because our environment, you know, there's so much going on. When you rewind 20 years ago, we didn't have internet. We didn't have, you know, everybody didn't have, well, some people were just starting to get cell phones. But right now, there is so much going on. And not just the tools that we have and all the information we have, but we also have that whole electromagnetic radiation and pollution thing going on. And it's been demonstrated it affects our brains.
Mm-hmm.
So we have not just all the things going on to complicate our lives, but we have this background noise level that our brains have to compensate for, and it sort of takes up the anxiety level just in the background.
Mm-hmm.
So if we can train people to able to really consciously feel, oh, am I relaxed or am I stressed? And then to be able to take charge and identify it and use these techniques to take that baseline stress level down so that our front of our brain can do the function that it's doing. You know, kid in the classroom. And kid in the classroom, kids today are really stressed out. You know what, one of the key factors, one of the things that stresses them out and gets their back of the brain mode going in high alert all the time?
What's that?
It's a video game.
Oh, yeah?
They sit for hours in front of the television and playing these video games. I mean, think about it. You ever watch a kid playing video games? Or do you play video games, Tom?
Yeah, I used to a lot.
You used to?
Yeah.
What made you stop?
I don't know. I just got more involved in business and helping people with nutrition and just kind of found other hobbies and things to work on.
Good for you. Well, there's a lot of people with a lot of spare time to kill, or they're just using spare time, and they're sitting and playing these video games, and not just children, but teenagers, adults. And these video games take your brain into a high-stress mode because you're shooting and fighting and driving cars. You know, if you think about a lot of the video games, it's like challenging, right? You're playing this game. You're trying to solve a problem or save the world, save yourself. It puts your brain in this high-alert arousal mode. I really got tuned into this a couple years ago. I was sitting at a radiology convention. I still keep up with what's going on in radiology because it's like, you know, this whole health thing. You want to see where trends are and what's going on in the world and what's going on in people's brains and their bodies and see what you can do to help. So there was a study done where they took 20 children. They were teenagers, and they had no other diagnoses. They weren't ADHD or bipolar. They didn't have any behavioral issues. These were just normal garden variety kids, 20 of them. They put them in front of a, was it 20 minutes? They put them in front of a violent video game for 20 minutes. This is a normal brain, right? Had them play a violent video game for 20 minutes, and they put them in the scanner. First, I did a baseline fMRI scan. They see this normal brain, right? 20 minutes after playing the game, they put them, same kid, same brain, back in the scanner, and they found that the back of their brain, their anterior cingulate gyrus, the amygdala, they had high activity going on there. And in the prefrontal cortex, in the front of the brain, where all the executive cognitive function happens, they had decreased activity. So what do you think that tells you, Tom?
I mean, it sounds like they stop thinking and they start getting in that fight-or-flight mode. And I know I experienced that myself when I played games, is that, you know, it's fun because it's so exciting because, you know, it's so challenging, but at the same time, you just feel stressed out after you're done.
It gets your emotions going, okay? So then say this, what happens if this kid goes, and now these were normal kids. What if they're ADHD or bipolar or they have, like, reactive attachment disorder? They have issues already going on, okay? Then they play video games, then they go to school. Like, we have issues in the classroom, you know, lots of cases of ADHD going on nowadays. And it's not just what, you know, video games, but nutrition, as you know, plays a big part of it. But what we're doing with this neurofeedback is helping people to calm their brains down where it needs to be calm, to wake up their brains where it needs to be woke up, to balance things. Head injuries are another big deal. Strokes, head injuries. Every time you bump your head, it's going to cause a little micro imbalance. You know, the outside, the bruises, the cuts and scrapes on the outside, they heal over a period of time, you know, relatively quickly. But on the inside, your brain, it's not really a solid thing, you know, like a piece of rubber. You see these models of brains. Your brain is more, Dr. Daniel Amen described your brain as like a gelatinous material. And when your head gets bumped, it really does cause injury to your brain, you know, maybe not on a really large level. You know, sometimes, yes, you know, you lose consciousness, you have brain injury. But even on a small level, it can cause disruptions in the electrical signals. You know, your brain is just filled with miles and miles of neurons with these wires. My analogy is like the information superhighway. There's all these different highways and all these neurons are connected. And so if you have something like a pothole in the road, then it's going to be a bumpy road. That road might even be closed and you have to go around, or maybe the signal's not even going to make it. typically what we do today is we throw chemicals at these neurotransmitters, you know. Mm-hmm. We talk about these chemical imbalances in the brain, and we take things to wake us up. Even if it's not pills, coffee, we go to Starbucks to wake up, and we go to happy hour to calm down, and we look for alcohol, and we take pills maybe to calm us down or to stabilize moods and correct these chemical things. But EEG neurofeedback, it goes straight to the electrical activity. Okay, you can't have the chemical thing without the electrical thing going. So we address the electrical thing. We get your brain communicating, synchronized, balanced, and stabilizing. And it's amazing what kinds of effects it has. Here's a case in point is we can help people with blood pressure. We can help people with blood sugar levels, with hormone levels. You know, maybe not get people off medications altogether, but we can train the brain to start taking over those autonomic nervous system functions that may not be happening. And I always encourage people, my clients, to keep in touch with their doctors, because what we'll find is maybe they might start being over-medicated because their brain is going to start stabilizing their blood sugar levels, start regulating blood pressure where it wasn't before. So we always encourage people to pay attention to how they're feeling physically and mentally and keep in touch with their doctors, because we end up titrating people down and off their medication, which is exactly what happened with my children. They didn't need their medication to be able to focus and attend anymore. You know, now granted, if they drink a Pepsi or something, or a Red Bull, or eat a bunch of sugar, it's going to throw their brain right back into that state again. But at least they're more aware of it now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you know, just talked about neurotransmitters, and I think that's so common. I mean, we see so many people with, you know, say depression, and they get on these antidepressants, and the normal doses don't work, so the doctors go up on a higher and higher and higher dose. But it's like, it doesn't matter how much Prozac you give someone, if the neurotransmitters in their brain aren't functioning, it's not going to make a difference.
Right. You know, we're looking at the whole nerve cell and the pathways, and instead of throwing chemicals at the brain, we're just showing the brain how to regulate and stabilize and do the work itself. And you don't have to sit there at the feedback monitor. You don't even have to sit there and try. In fact, if a client sits there and looks at the monitor and tries to make it happen, it picks up on the muscle tension and anxiety and gives them negative feedback. I think of it as like, I tell them to just think about if you're checking your brain into the gym. Just sit there in the waiting room and you're watching the feedback monitor. And the feedback, by the way, is just in the form of watching a movie or playing a video game. Not a video game like at home, a conventional video game, but it's a video game that trains the brain to focus and attend or calm down or stabilize. It's really fascinating. It's a fun thing. You know, I get kids, parents. I mean, I myself as a parent started out with my 13-year-old daughter. She was like out of control. Spent a lot of time. She was a frequent flyer in the principal's office at school, you know, and it was the summer before her freshman year of high school, and I'm thinking, oh, dang, there is no way she's going to survive high school. She's either going to get thrown out or beat up, you know. There is no way. So I took her in for this therapy. She did not want to go. Oh, my goodness. I had to, like, drag her in, kicking and screaming, and throw her in the car. And luckily, she was smaller than me at the time, but seriously, she did not want to go. I had to bribe her, not even bribe her, but it's like, okay, honey, you can go to your hour of neurofeedback, or I can take your cell phone and your computer and your iPod. I'll take all your stuff for the day, or you can just give me an hour. You know, I had to do, like, you know, guerrilla warfare tactics to get her to go, but it was so important to me. I persevered, and we got her through about 20 hours of training. And at the end, and she was one uncooperative mo, I'll tell you, that poor therapist had her workout, just get her to hook up and sit still in the chair. But it was worth every ounce of effort, because I'll tell you, this same child, after 20 hours of therapy, just looked at us and she was like, oh, thank you. Thank you, Mommy, for taking me. I feel so much better. I'm going to do good. And she did. She turned into an honor student, and she got through her years. She made friends. She began to get along better with others because her brain wasn't in fight or flight all the time. It was just fascinating. So I encourage parents, if they have children who don't want to go, or you know, family members, or just whatever it takes to encourage them to go and support them every step of the way, because it's really, really worth it. And, you know, those of us who are practitioners, we have our ways. We encourage people, and And we work with these kids, and like, for instance, this one little Asperger's, little five-year-old girl, it was really hard to get her to sit still. But the fascinating thing is after 5 minutes, just 5 minutes of watching this video game, and mind you, she's not even holding a controller. Her brain is driving the video game. Fascinating. I tell her, your brain driving this rocket ship. And within 5 minutes, it calmed her brain down. She felt so good. The girl, normally, she would, her behavior, she had like, she was wiggling all the time, and she would scratch on things with her right index finger, would always be scratching on things. That was her way of calming herself and attending to her in her environment. And it stopped. I saw this little girl, she just slowed down and she stopped. And at about session 8, she began to communicate with me, like reciprocal conversation. And she would look me in the eye and talk to me. And not just after a few minutes of neurofeedback training, but it got to where now she'll look at me when she comes in the door and she'll talk to me. It's just fascinating how we've been able to help her to connect to her environment just by calming down her brain. And then the next step now, we've got her brain calmed down, is now that we've got her brain calmed down, now we can look at the focus and attention and the auditory processing and all the other things. So we have sort of an order of operations within neurofeedback. You know, just like with algebra, you have an order of operations. You do the things in the parentheses first and then the brackets. And if you don't do things in order, then you're not going to get the right answer to the problem.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So that's how it is with the neurofeedback. We start first by calming down the brain. No matter what's going on, we get the brain calmed down, and then we get things stabilized. And then we look at what else is going on within the person. Are they having headaches? Are they having seizures? Are they having anxiety? Are they having depression or memory loss or, you know, autoimmune disorders or behavior issues or pain or weight loss? Weight loss is a huge issue. You know, so many people get so desperate. They do all these diets and they go to the gym and they work really hard. They'll run marathons. And some of these people still aren't losing weight. They do all these diets and they might even resort to like gastric, the lap band or bypass. But we still have the basic core issues. You know, people maybe they're eating from anxiety and stress. Or they're eating because they have lack of self-control. They can't control their eating. Or they're making the wrong choices. Where does that all start?
It's all from the brain.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So, you know, granted, my background is in nutrition and fitness. I'm still going to encourage people to eat right and to exercise and look at the whole picture. You know, I came into this as a health educator. But if we can address those core issues in the brain, it's like everything else is going to fall into place. We get people to regulate get people in self-control. We get people to decrease their obsessive food thoughts and their moods and things like that. That's going to have its trickle-down effects in our choices of foods, you know, self-discipline. And then the motivation is another key factor. That happens in the frontal cortex. Motivation. You know, not just for eating the right things and exercise, but motivation for the kid in school to do their homework or the college student to get to class on time and do their work, do their papers and, you know, study and read. Motivation for the corporate guy or the employee just to do a good job. It's just amazing how all of these things are connected and have their roots in behavior. So we look at motivation and self-control and decision-making in the prefrontal cortex, taking down anxiety because people, a lot of times they have habits, you know, not just eating, but they might have chemical addictions or alcohol addictions. Been fascinating work done with neurofeedback on alcoholism. There was a Dr. Peniston did a study years ago we worked with at Camp Pendleton doing a study with war veterans who were chronic alcoholics and drug abusers. And he took a group of people who were just rehab frequent flyers, and they had 80 to 90% effective rate doing neurofeedback on these guys. They just didn't have the desire for the alcohol anymore.
Wow, that's amazing. But it's also really powerful for addictions, then, obviously.
Absolutely. Yeah, if you go to my LinkedIn profile, you'll see a recommendation was just put on there, helped an actor with an addiction issue, years of this addiction issue, and I was able to help him with this addiction. So that just wasn't an issue anymore, and that results in peak performance. You know, we can train. I've got somebody I was training for vocal delivery. I was having a stuttering problem. All of a sudden, now he figures, oh my gosh, now I can sing. You know, I always thought of myself as an actor before, and then after training in the peak performance for verbal expression, you know, speaking, it's like, wow. All of a sudden, he had this epiphany that he could sing and got the lead role in a singing part for the first time ever. And this guy was an actor and a dancer, got a singing part. It's just fascinating what kinds of things you start putting the whole picture together. You know, the brain, it's like a big puzzle. If you got a piece missing or something damaged or there's a piece of the picture missing, you put it all together, you got this big picture now, you know. We help make people whole by adjusting parts of the brain that might not be doing their job, you know.
That's amazing. So let's talk a little bit more about peak performance, because when you talk about athletes and how important it is, you know, everyone knows that if you're an Olympic athlete, they don't only do physical training, they do mental training.
Absolutely. A big part of it is mental. I remember years ago in college taking sports psychology and sports philosophy, and I went to Cal State Fullerton, and if you follow sports at all, you'll know Cal State Fullerton has one of the best baseball teams, go Titans, one of the best baseball teams in the nation, you know, college baseball team. And they did peak performance imagery training with the pitchers specifically. And a lot of it is mental. Basketball, they worked with the basketball team. They don't have a basketball team there. But these athletes, a lot of them is imagery. You know, before neurofeedback, we had just imagery and mind, you know, mind-body connection exercises that we would do. But now neurofeedback gets that job done so quick. You know, in 30 minutes, you can sit down and get yourself into the zone and train your brain, train yourself to be able to consciously get into that zone. And that's another thing that Les Bemmy, his work in the alpha training, he through his exercises, it helps you to be mindful and be able to deliberately get yourself into that alpha 10 hertz happy place rhythm, which is what the zone is. That's actually how neurofeedback was discovered. Years ago, a Dr. Barry Sterman was doing studies with cats in a lab, in his psychiatry lab. They do a lot of studies with cats. And I mean, it's kind of barbaric what they do, but anybody who's done postgraduate work in psychology and psychiatry, they have to work in this cat lab. But anyway, that's how neurofeedback was discovered years and years ago, back in the 60s, was studying cats. You know, when they're in the zone, when they're looking at, they're focused on something, you know, how they're very, very still, but you can tell they're zoned in. They're just eye contact, right?
Absolutely.
They're zoned in. So this Dr. Barry Sterman studied the EEG of the cats to figure out what rhythm they were in, and they discovered this SMR beta rhythm between 12 and 15 hertz, which was this super-duper focused mode. And he was able to train these cats through operant conditioning. Okay, if you can train a cat with a bowl of milk, you can train a person by watching a video screen, you know? It's really that simple. So that's how he discovered the neurofeedback and the power of being able to train somebody with this feedback. And he actually coincidentally discovered with the same group of cats. He was finished with his study. This is a little history of neurofeedback. He took these cats, and his next study was for NASA. And NASA was having an issue back in the 60s with the astronauts going into seizures as a result of the rocket fuel fumes. Not a good thing to have an astronaut out in space having seizures, right? You know, they're working on billions of dollars worth of equipment and they're out there in space. How can we help them? So they began to study. They wanted to know just how much of this rocket fumes an astronaut could be exposed to before they went into seizures to study their threshold level. So what do? They contract with Barry Sterman to do studies and figure out with cats, you know, what are safe levels and what we can do to train the brain. Well, they they discovered he needed some more cats. He had some cats left over from this other study, and he adds more cats to the study. And he found, coincidentally, it was just an off-the-wall discovery, that the cats that were involved in the neurofeedback brain training study, they weren't going into seizures like the other cats. Exposed to the same levels of this rocket fuel fumes, they weren't going into seizures. And he's like scratching his head going, what the heck? And he figured out the cats that weren't going into seizures, it was the ones that had had the neurofeedback training. Their brains became resistant to seizures. Hmm. And that's when they discovered neurofeedback as a therapy.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
I think the brain is so much more powerful than most people give it credit for. I mean, you really can control, physical symptoms and so many different conditions and ailments with your brain, with your thoughts and how you think and what state of mind you're in and what state of consciousness you're in, like you talked about. And I think that's so
Absolutely.
Important for people to understand.
There's a powerful mind-body connection. And nowadays, we've been trained to look to, no offense to the medical field. I totally believe they have their place. When my shoulder was injured, I tried everything. I had to get it fixed, But so many people, first thing they turn to is pills and throwing chemicals at problems. And how many times have you heard people say, oh, I just feel so out of control?
Mm-hmm.
We have this brain that can be trained to take back control when it loses control. We can train our brain to take control of our whole body, not in like a brainwashing way. And I want to assure you that this neurofeedback is not brainwashing. It's not hypnosis. It's definitely scientific. And we're not zapping people. We're not putting any energy. I'm not zapping people. There is no energy going through those electrodes. The electrodes are just little sophisticated microphones. It's a one-way street. The electrode goes to an amplifier because the brain electrical signals are very, very, very quiet. So we have to amplify them just like a car stereo. The amplifier sends the information to the laptop computer, and then that goes through a whole program, sends the information to the feedback monitor, and then the feedback is just audio and visual information. We have people with headphones or speakers. You get visual and you get audio information, feedback, and your brain is able to figure that out. It's like letting your brain watch itself in the mirror. Just like when you exercise at the gym, you go to the gym or you go to a martial arts place or a Pilates or yoga studio or dance place. There's mirrors everywhere so that you can watch your movement, see if you're on track and with the rest of the troop or the class. That's what this neurofeedback does. It allows your brain to watch itself. And the brain is actually very, very self-centered. It enjoys watching itself. It thrives on that. So it will become very, very engaged and try to get things back in balance. And the way that happens is the picture will get bigger or smaller. If they're watching a movie, the picture will actually shrink or get grayed out. And those are the rewards or the inhibits, depending on what frequency we're training on. If they choose a video game, even though if they get worked up and, I find these kids, they get worked up on the video game, but it's actually training their brain because the rocket or the car will crash if their frequency is too high. If they're having these errant signal bursts or if their frontal cortex is asleep, it'll give the car or the rocket negative feedback and make it crash. And then when their brain makes the adjustment, it'll get the car or the rocket or whatever back on track. I can hook up this little girl and she can watch a butterfly fly through different scenes of lollipops and horses. And, it's just whatever feedback gets their attention, that's good. And then the computer takes over the rest and works with the brain and gives it feedback. Mm. And also, we did not touch on the fact of, you ever hear lots of people walking around with post-traumatic stress disorder?
Yeah, it's so common, especially with all the soldiers in Iraq and Afghanistan coming home.
Yes, yes. And so we can also work on these deep, deep post-traumatic issues. We start with the awake state, conscious, toning down, calming, and stabilizing. And then we have this option of going into deep state alpha-theta training. This is your deep conscious level where deep memories are stored. And people sometimes have memories they don't even remember, but they affect your outward conscious behavior. They affect your decision. It's the reticular activating system of the brain filters what's going on in our environment based on past memories, whether we remember them or not. So through neurofeedback, we are actually able to, once the brain is calmed and stabilized, we can take people in a very comfortable, safe environment that's calm. We can take them to their past and help them to process their memory with a calm and stable brain. We don't take them to a bad place. I work with a couple of retired military fighter pilots, and helping them to process past memories, and it's just melting away years of anxiety and pain and nightmares, things like that. It's just helping to break through all this. Didn't take them back to the trauma, didn't get them, you know, re-traumatized, but help them to process the memories with a calm and stable brain. And just FYI, there is an organization called Homecoming for Veterans. It's hcfv.org. And you can type in your name. And if you're a military veteran, even don't even have to be retired, any military veteran, there is a network of neurofeedback practitioners such as myself who are donating. This is our pro bono work, our way of saying thank you to the veteran, to the military personnel for serving our country, and we will take them through neurofeedback therapy for free, just wow, to help them to recover.
That is
from
awesome.
Brain
That's
injuries
amazing.
And from pain and trauma. There's a whole network. You just put in your name and put in the application online, and put in your zip code. They'll help you hook up with a therapist in the network in your area.
Well, that's so important. Thank you for doing that great work, because, you know, so many of these young men and women as well come back from Iraq and Afghanistan, and they, you know, they don't understand why they're feeling so bad, and they don't get all the kind of great medical care and psychological care that they need to recover from those very stressful combat situations.
Yeah, and they are getting medical care. You know, they're at the VA. I've got two retired military fighter pilots I'm working with. They came in with a list of about a dozen different medications for all these different issues, and we're working our way down. You know, their brains are starting to take over. One of them in particular, he's doing amazing. And here's one example: is he had ringing in his ears. I mean, you think about the noise levels these guys are exposed to. He does not have ringing in his ears anymore. We always, at the beginning of every session, I go through the initial intake list of symptoms, and I go, well, how's your sleep? How are your dreams? He's like, you know, I'm not drinking as much at night. He's actually entertaining the thought of going back to AA and not drinking anymore because he's just found that he doesn't need so much alcohol to get to sleep anymore. He's not afraid to go to sleep because he's not having the traumatic nightmares. It's more like he's kind of seeing things in a more calm way, bird's eye view, rather than being in the throes of the military combat in the cockpit of his helicopter. He's not there anymore. He's just kind of like processing his dreams and his memories. He's not afraid to go to sleep anymore. He's getting along with his wife. He's on his sixth marriage. I mean, this is a history of broken relationships because of his deep anxiety reactive mode, because he was living in the back of his brain in stress and emotion. He's now able to just calmly get through a day and relate to every day. You know, we have ups and downs every day, but he's able to process it, get through his day with a calm peace of mind and deal with things, you know, with his frontal cortex now. It's just fascinating. And you know, this isn't just for the military veterans, but this goes for anybody. Lots of us have PTSD issues. You know, the world is complicated now. We don't, you know, a lot of people have broken relationships and maybe past abuse and trauma issues, even birth trauma. I've got two children. Their whole issue, it wasn't my parenting. Two of them had severe birth traumas. I'm a very, very small person. I'm only 5 feet tall, weigh less than 100 pounds. Very, very small person. And I had two of them were very large babies, and they had birth trauma. They were in the ICU for a week, you know, on IVs and wah, crying for mom. But mom, they don't let you in the ICU 24 hours a day, you know. So they came into this world with trauma. And believe it or not, you know, we have modern medicine. We got to do what we do, these heroic things to save their lives. But it creates trauma in the brain. They start life in this stress mode, you know, in pain and crying and fear that's not comforted. You know, mom can't be there. And they can't control the pain, but the pain saves their lives, you know, these IVs and all these procedures. But by training the brain, and we can even work with babies. You don't have to be a certain age to do neurofeedback. We can even work with people in coma to help their brain come out. They've actually brought people out of comas and got people out of wheelchairs. And I know this sounds really crazy, but it happens. It's been documented.
That's amazing. It's amazing work that you're doing.
And
I know we've only got a couple minutes left, Becky, so why don't you share with our listeners a little bit more where they can find out more information about you and your work you're up to.
Okay. Well, my name is Becky Basham, and my website is edgeneurofitness.com. So edge as in cutting-edge technology. Give you the edge, the competitive edge, and take the edge off your symptoms. You know, that's why I call it edge. And neurofitness, you know, not everybody understands what neurofeedback is. You know, what is that? But most people know that neuro is brain, and fitness, you know, is fitness. It's strengthening and training. So edgeneurofitness.com, all the information's on there. There's links to research and videos. A lot of the videos and information I just uploaded from the website of the place where I got my training and purchased my equipment, which is eeginfo.com. A lot of the information is from there. And I have offices in Orange County, Irvine, California, and in Corona, California. I also have an office out in Lake Havasu City, Arizona. So I go back and forth, travel around, have another neurofeedback practitioner I'm working with. Her name is Marina Cherko. She's an MD, actually. Left her career in the medical field. Just decided she was disenchanted with allopathic medicine and wanted to help people on a more natural cognitive level. So she's working with me, and you know, we're working together. I met her at the EEG Institute doing the training. Most people who go into this training are psychologists and counselors, but anybody with a medical background and a degree, they will allow to come into the Institute and do the training. So that's where we did our training. So you can find me once again, edgeneurofitness.com, and if you're not in my area, you can find a provider by going to that eeginfo.com, click on the provider tab, and put in your zip code, and you can find a provider in your area. And once again, for the military personnel, if you need some help, go to HEFV, homecomingforveterans.org, and you can find a provider.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Becky. We just learned so much from you today, and I know it's going to help thousands of people just live a healthier, happier life. So thank you so much for being on the show today, and I hope you have a wonderful day.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you for having me. It's an honor.
Hey there, it's Tom Corson Knowles again. If you'd like to connect with Becky on Facebook, you can find her at facebook.com/edgeneurofitness. And again, her website is edgeneurofitness.com. And hey, if you haven't come checked out Dr. Corson's top 5 nutrition tips report, please do. Come visit us over at authentichealthcoach.com. And if you have any questions about nutrition or health or brain health, anything that we can help you with at all, just post it on our Facebook fan page, and we'll be happy to answer your questions as soon as we can. Make it a fantastic day.